at Psalm 84 tonight. Psalm 84. One hand grabs Psalm 84. Second hand grabs Psalm 34. 84:34. Psalm 34 and verse 10. The Bible says this, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Isn't that a blessing to know that God can meet all of our needs? And that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. Psalm chapter 84 and verse 11, it says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you that we can come to you with all of our needs. God, thank you that we know that you care about them and want to fulfill them. Lord, forgive us for trying to do it on our own. Lord, I pray that tonight's message would just simply be a reminder and encouragement to us to continue to just bring everything before you. Lord, we love you, and we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. What an encouraging couple of verses here as we look at this thought. I mean, honestly, that is the thought of the message. I have six or seven supporting points to that tonight. But God can meet all of your needs. It's good to know that. If you've ever gone to the store with an expectation of being able to buy something and only to get to the shelf and it says out, oh, that's frustrating, right? Like, I specifically went here to go get that, and now they're out of that. Do you understand that as we bring our needs to the Lord, he's never out. It's never unavailable. It's never, I can't fulfill that. It's never back ordered. It's never unable to meet our needs. God is able to meet all of our needs. Again, as we look at Psalm 34 in verse 10, it says, "The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Why should we not want any good thing? Why should you not want any good thing? Because every good thing has been met. Praise the Lord for that. So as we look at this thought, God can meet all of your needs. God can meet all of your needs. First of all, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, I think, is one of the most important verses in your entire Bible. One of the most important verses in the entire Bible, because it helps put everything in perspective. It helps put everything in order. It helps put me where I ought to be, God where he ought to be, and everything else falls into place. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And the Bible says this, "And all these things shall be added unto you." Hey, there's no need that God cannot fulfill. There's no placement of your life that God cannot order. But before he does all of that, before he can fix all of that, what is our obligation? What is the condition upon us? That we seek him. That we bring our needs to him. What do you do with your needs? I got it. I can meet my own needs. The Lord has a way of reminding us all too often that sometimes we cannot. He gives us ability, and praise the Lord. Maybe you're able to go shopping and say, "Okay, I got this, God." But there's things in our life that we ought to have brought to the Lord, and it would just made everything better. He says this, "Seek me first, and listen, I will take care of everything else." This afternoon, I was dealing with one of my children, and they wanted me to deal with everything else before they did what I told them to do. I'm not even going to discuss any of that until you do this. Both those verses out of Psalms had somewhat of a qualifier in there. Those that walk with the Lord, those that live righteously, God will meet your needs. Hey, I need to do everything I should be doing, doing right, seeking God first and foremost. God can meet my needs. My question is, are you seeking Him first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Righteousness of God is Jesus Christ Himself. Am I endeavoring to make my life look like Jesus Christ? We talked about that, I think, last Wednesday. Am I a reflection of Christ? And God says, everything else. Say, yeah, that blank is anything you could possibly fill in there. He says, you seek me first, and I will take care of everything. Romans chapter 8. Number one, seek God first and foremost. Number two, Romans chapter 8, oh, there we are. Romans chapter 8 and verse, I'm transposing numbers here. In verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God has met our greatest need. Oh, God's not aware of my needs. You tell that to the cross. He's very much aware of our needs and is very much willing to pay for your needs. And He has. That's what it says there. And He spared not His own son. He was willing to put His own son to death for my sins to deliver me. And then we're going to say, God, you don't know what I need. Oh, no. He met our greatest need. It's amazing. You know, our children, and we can blame them, and we'll use them as illustrations, but oftentimes it happens with us also. But it's amazing, our children, as they think of what they actually need, right? Dad, I need... Sure enough, we were in the aisle, at the grocery store, and it was pretty much textbook children desiring sugary cereal. Dad, please, look, it's on sale. I promise. And all of a sudden, they're making promises. We need this. You do not need Cocoa Puffs. You do not. And sometimes we come to the Lord and say, God, this is what we need. God has met our greatest need in sending His Son. He spared not for our needs. Our first and foremost, we ought, as us, as people, we ought to seek God first. In meeting our needs, He has provided salvation. Honestly, if everything else falls apart, body breaks down, He has met our greatest need. Everything else are temporal needs. Isn't that true? Because the meeting of our greatest need will have the longest impact. It's called eternity. If all He gave us was salvation, we're pretty well off. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. But not only does He meet our spiritual needs, you know, so we are as parents, right? Not only do we provide housing and food and the essentials, but yeah, we do nice things for our kids too, right? We have a computer, they have nice stuff, and bikes, and basketball hoops, and do all that, and airsoft guns, and we take them here and there, and, you know, we're to a new point in our life. You know, Sam has his license now, so now he's asking to borrow the car, and you know, he asked the other day, he said, can I use the truck? I'd like to go here. And I'm like, well, here, let me give you some money to go do that. He's like, no, you're paying for the gas, actually, so I'll pay for the product. I said, okay, that's good. I'm happy with that. And so we're at a new point of maybe having some needs, and we want to meet those needs. We want to enjoy life. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 3, The Bible says this, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. God says, hey, I see the right, do you see the qualifier there though? Remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He says, and I'll take care of everything else. And sure enough, that's what it says. God will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish. Look at the Psalm 37. I love this verse, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The more I go, the better I like it. I have been young and now am old in verse 25, Psalm 37, 25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Isn't that true? The older I go, the more I say yes to that. God has met not only our spiritual need of salvation, but he meets our earthly needs. Once again, the children come into the house, Dad, we're starving. You're starving because the clock says it's time to eat. But you are not starving. You could probably go, we all could probably go a couple cycles and nowhere get close to starving. The Lord has met our needs. The Lord can meet your need. Number one, seek him first. Number two, salvation. Number three, earthly possessions. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. If you don't have verse 25 of Psalm 37 marked down, underlined, highlighted, mark that down. The older you go, the more that verse becomes applicable. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. God can meet all your needs. Number one, if we, again, our responsibility is to seek him first. Number two, he has met our spiritual need. Number three, our earthly needs. Number four, he goes well above and beyond. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, now unto him that is able, remember the name of the message is God can meet all your needs. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Have we not tasted of the goodness of God? Have we not experienced God's blessings that has blown our mind? I couldn't have even imagined you doing this. God says, I am able to go above and beyond even what you could even think of. Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that a blessing? Sometimes I think we get a bad view of the Lord. Lord, you stiffed me. He's able to exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Lord never has done us wrong. Look at Psalm chapter 18. Just a few more. Psalm chapter 18 tonight and verse 2. So I guess we could read verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Look at verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I want to draw our attention to that word, my deliverer. Hey, when we're in the need of help and protection, God says, I'm that. I'm that to you. I can deliver you. We've seen him deliver the nation of Israel out of the hand of the Egyptians. We've seen, I was just talking to Samuel, who was just reading about some stuff about the Revolutionary War, and he was really captivated by it. He brought it up, and we had a nice conversation about it, and he was just telling me, he said, you know, we weren't in the War of Independence. It wasn't because we had a superior army. It was God delivered us out of the hand of the, from England, and he relayed a series of reasonings. God has been able to deliver. He does deliver. Hey, did you ever get yourself in trouble? Not because you stole a candy bar, but because you've made some bad decisions. God says, I'll help you with that. I'll actually meet that need. I will deliver you out of the mess you got yourself into. Praise the Lord for that. God can meet your needs. God can deliver you. So oftentimes we get ourselves into trouble and think, this is where I'm going to have to live for the rest of my life. God says, no, actually, I have a way out. If you seek me, if you come looking for help and guidance and direction, I'm here to help you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. God is able to meet our need with deliverance. God is able to meet our need. Second to last. With grace. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure, Paul acknowledges God left something in Paul's life, not that just to keep him humble. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. I don't think he sat on a pricker bush. I think there was something difficult going on in his life. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Hey, if the Apostle Paul had to deal with something on a regular basis, a fight of the flesh, if you will, whatever that was, it was a thorn in the flesh. Maybe it was just his own flesh in itself, the battle between not necessarily the world and the devil, but him. I asked God to deliver. He just kept me humble with it. And this thing I besought the Lord thrice that I might depart from me. And he said unto me, and here's his answer, kind of like what Brother Rodell said, hey, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God is able to meet our needs by providing, not taking away the difficulty, but giving us the strength and the grace to get through it. That's a great need met by God. And if the Apostle Paul goes through something like that, hey, don't you think we might have to go through something similar to that? So oftentimes, maybe sitting by your bedside or maybe in the quietness of your heart and mind, for a moment, that thought comes into your mind. This isn't fair. And God reminds us, let me give you some grace. My grace is sufficient. I have enough to meet your needs. Whatever that thorn of the flesh is, whatever that difficulty is, whatever that circumstance is in your life, God says, I have grace to empower you and get you through. Sometimes he doesn't take it away. Lastly, Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. God can meet all your needs. I'm going to ask you, what are your needs tonight? Growing up next to the telephone, remember the telephones that were mounted on the wall? We used to have a little notepad, and there we would write down maybe if someone called or something of that sort. Right next to that was our shopping list. And if we needed anything, we could write it down. My mom would kind of take that into consideration, right? We are long past that time. We now have digital shopping lists. And if I see something around the house that we're almost out of, I just add it to the shopping list. And next time Sarah's at the store, she opens up the shopping list and says, oh, we need milk. I didn't know that we needed milk, but it's not usually milk. It's usually, Cocoa Puffs, the things I write. So we have this, as we have our needs and we make a list of them, I wonder what your list looks like tonight. What do you need? Can I tell you God can meet that need? I was at a town board meeting this past week, and we'll look at this in one second. was at a town board meeting this past weekend over in the town of Hamlin, and I appreciate the opportunity to be able to go there and pray really appreciate that, just the opportunity to open up our town meetings in prayer. So there it was, and there was a guy, and he was pretty upset. He had some water in his front or in his backyard, and he wanted the town to take care of it. Town supervisor said, "No offense, but we all have water in our backyard. I'm not sure if you've seen it." And this guy was pretty upset. It sounded like he maybe, I don't know. I'm making judgments. I'm just saying. So what he was proposing, he was demanding that the board vote on helping him right then. So the supervisor's like, well, we're not going to do that. He goes, well, I want you to fix this problem. And he said this. He goes, I just want to warn you that how we may fix this may not be what you're asking for. And I logged that away, and I thought, huh, that's a smart response. Oh, we'll fix it according to our specs, not yours. And sometimes we tell the Lord, God, here's how you can meet our needs. And we bring the needs before and our list before the Lord, and He answers our needs. It's just not how I expected. But as we saw at the beginning, all of it's good for us. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you." Again, if there's certain verses in your Bible that ought to be underlined, ought to be marked off, highlighted. Encouraging verses here. Jeremiah 29:11, very important. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Hey, God can meet your needs and leading you and guiding you along in your life. I remember growing up and listening to preachers say, I was at a crossroads in my life. And I thought for a moment, when I was younger, I thought that at one moment there was going to be a crossroads. I cannot tell you how many times I've come to crossroads in my life. It's not just once. It's multiple times. And you're looking at the fork in the road, sometimes multiple forks in the road, and you go, I don't know where to go. Do you know that God can meet your need in leading you and guiding you? He has a path planned, an expected end. Hey, if you need leadership in your life and guidance in your life, can I tell you where to go? To the Lord. We got the physical needs covered way back early. We talked about some deep needs in our life. First, let's seek the Lord. Number two, He's met our needs in salvation, earthly possessions, above and beyond what we could imagine. He has provided a way of deliverance. He has given us grace to get through the trials. He provides leadership and guidance along the day-to-day life. Say, how do I get these needs met? We were at Wegmans today. You take out the little cart, and if I have a need, I just put the need in the cart, right? And then I go to the end. How do I get God to fulfill my needs? Matthew chapter 21, last verse. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, 22. "In all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." God says, I'll meet your needs. You just got to bring them to me. And unfortunately, I don't know if it's because of our pride or our arrogance or we want to get the glory or whatever it is, but we oftentimes will make a mess of our life trying to meet our own needs when God says, I'm right here. I'm able to do it. So, again, tonight, what are your needs? I bet if we went to the cupboards, it's not that. I bet if we were able to look at the window of your heart, you have the indwelling Holy Spirit of God, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But maybe you're here tonight looking for some leadership, some guidance. Maybe you're in a mess and you need some deliverance. Maybe you need some grace. Whatever that is, I encourage you to go to the Lord, seek Him first. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. It's good to know that God can meet every one of our needs. Thankful for that. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed.